So I'll just, of course, as Madhavananda Prabhu did, welcome everyone, and also especially grateful to His Holiness Krishna Kshetra and his yatra, which is joining us today. And especially at the beginning with the translation in the back, a little softer. Okay, let people come closer to you. It's like starting an Indian motorcycle. And you got to press the pedal many, many times. But once it gets going, I'll be okay. So, yeah. So I think this is our maybe eighth or ninth year. And we started in a place called the Prabhupada Hotel. And as Jai Dvaita Maharaj said, the only thing about the Prabhupada Hotel, that's Prabhupada is the name. And then he proceeded to steal the Mayavadi books that they were selling and confiscate them. And then we had an upgrade and we went to the swimming hotel, which was very beautiful. It was really luxurious, really. We have class by the swimming pool. And then the prices went too high. And then we moved to the Gajapati. Yeah, I know that. And we were driven out by the disco music. And then somehow or other, this place just appeared, and it's really ideal. The fathers here are very nice. They keep it very clean, all facilities. And one of the functions of the festival is actually to create community. And that's what Chaitanya Charitamrita is. The only thing is, that's the eternal community. We have to create communities because we don't really live in them too often, actually. And a community is a place, and you'll see this, this is actually the principle of the spiritual world. A community is a place where everyone is united behind one idea, one interest, that actually is the universal interest. It's in the classic example that Prabhupada gives is just like my body. There's an interest. There's a constitutional interest. The constitutional interest is me, my body. And everything serves the body. And the principle is, where there is harmony, there is beauty, and music, and beauty, not just physical, not just the sight, but beauty in all the senses, beauty in the heart. And especially it's the principle by which actually love flows. Actually, I'll say that at least what I'm going to speak on, and I usually speak on Gaur Lila, one particular Gaur Lila. Last year we did Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic dancing in the Rath Yatra festival. But this year, in Mayapur, I was speaking on the Brahma Vimoha Lila. I didn't finish it, so I kind of want to finish it here. So I'll be speaking on the Brahma Vimoha Lila, which is apropos for Puri, because this is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to fulfill his internal mission. And this is how he fulfilled his internal mission. He chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with, what's the most important thing in chanting? Who can say?
Devotion.
What?
Devotion.
Devotion. A devotee. Devotion. Okay? That's the most important principle in any devotional activity. But what's the most specific, most important thing in... What?
Shrimad Bhagavatam. Hearing Shrimad Bhagavatam.
What?
Hearing Shrimad.
Listening Shrimad Bhagavatam.
Why? Well, let's start with attention. I don't know where I read this, but it's really an amazing thought. Perception is based on attention. So if you want to actually have communion with the Holy Name, you have to have attention. And I was also reading that this morning in the book that Ishvara, raise your hand, Ishvara, what's the name of the book you gave me? Lectures of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was describing the concept of darshan. And the concept of darshan is he's wanting to make the point, it's not just seeing with the eyes. Actually, he said darshan even is all the senses, if you really want to experience something. But he said even beyond that, it's the mind. So the efficacy of any spiritual practice is focus. The degree that it facilitates your attention is the degree that it's an effective spiritual practice, whether it is Gyan or Bhakti. So what's the most powerful means of attention?
Attraction.
Emotion. If you have an emotional connection towards something, then you're the most focused on it, rather than focusing on it because of an understanding. If you have some emotional attraction. Yeah, someone once told me a story in that regard. I'm not going to repeat it again, but it's about a meditation teacher. I guess I will repeat it again, but briefly. It's about a meditation teacher, and someone from the West goes to see the meditation teacher, and he's all excited about going to see the meditation teacher, and he has a gray beard, and he's living very simply, and he has a little hermitage with various cottages, and he's so humble. And when the person comes, he picks up his luggage and he brings it into a room, and he says, the first instruction for you on how to meditate is on a piece of paper on the bed. And then he shuts the door and bolts it from the outside. And now envision a simple Indian room. What will you see? You'll see the medicines and the sweets under the wood bed, right? Because there's no shelves. There'll be a clothesline across the top with things, right? There'll be an Elmira, right? Maybe there'll be a broom sticking on the side or something like that. It's a little cluttered, right? And this is the meditation room. And when he picks up the piece of paper, the instruction is, there's a deadly snake in the room. Don't think of it. So, what happens? The person, he's just thinking the whole time. And then he gets the message. When there's an emotional connection to the object of meditation, the meditation is much more... And that's why... Yoginam api sarvesha madgatena taratmanam shradhavam vajate yomam. Of all yogis, he who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest of all. Because of all the emotions, the most powerful is love. If the arrow of Cupid hits your heart, the object of your desire is always in your mind. So what is the supreme love? What is the supreme love? The supreme love is bhakti. Can anyone give a verse that mentions that the supreme love is bhakti? Of course, it's the only verse I know, and now I look like a monster, right? You can do so many things with this seat. It's dangerous. Twasmin parama prema. Gita?
No, it wasn't going to be that.
Well, I'll give mine and you'll give yours. Twasmin
pramanam amalam prema pumarto maha. Prema pumarto maha. The greatest goal of the human form of life is love of Krishna.
Okay. Is love of Krishna. And this verse says, Narada Bhakti Sutra, the second verse, Twasmin Parama Prema Rup. That the Parama Prema Rup, topmost form of love is for God. Because that type of love is actually, it's not just a fleeting sentiment. It's actually an energy of God. It's the essence of his bliss potency. So, the topmost love. So, for attention in love, when you are chanting the name of your beloved, the degree of your attention will be the degree that you have a relationship with the person whose name you are calling. And that's called sambandha. So to get that sambandha, when you're chanting, to get that sambandha, Lord Chaitanya showed us that was his method when he was in the Gambhira. He wanted something. Lord Chaitanya wanted this love. And therefore his lila is so perfect for us, because his lila is the lila of God, the pastime of God becoming a devotee to become complete as God. Because God is the supreme enjoyer, and enjoyment is love, and to relish love fully, you have to be more than just the object of love. What if I'm the object of love and I just sit here and everyone just says all day to me, "Jai, Jai," and they shower me with flowers, and they all love me because of my wonderful qualities, and then they give me a huge plate of prasadam cooked out of love, and I take a little bit, and I'm so exalted I won't even take my own remnants. So they have to have five little cups of each preparation. And Diodna would not take his own remnants. And it's Jai and Jai and Jai. And the flowers are enjoying it now, I'm even thinking of it. And the flowers are falling off. I'm just like, it's just so wonderful. But I don't love anyone. I don't serve anyone. How much will I enjoy if there's not actually a relationship? In fact, God has to have love. And the topmost is love of God. So he has to have love of God. And he has to love his devotees. Because someone can throw petals on you all day, but if you love them very much, it's so much more relishable. So you have to have both sides of love. So God has to become his own devotee, and the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the story of God becoming his own devotee. And it begins where? Gita?
Gaya.
Gaya, what happened in Gaya? He got initiation from Ishwarapuri, and he was transformed. So, when God wants to get love of God, he has to get it from a devotee. And then his lila is so nice. And then after he gets love of Godhead, what is the main thing he does to cultivate it?
Harinam.
What's that?
He distributes it.
He distributes it. Actually, before he distributes, he tastes it. He meets in Sri Vasanga with the devotees. And it's so... Whenever I think of Sri Vasanga, I have to tell this story. Does anybody know where I'm from?
Odessa.
Oxford. No.
Berkeley. That's Versailles.
So, I have to tell this story. So, there was one man who joined Krishna consciousness. And he was so much a New Yorker that he couldn't leave the island of Manhattan. And one day had a function in New Jersey, and he went to the function and he started to shake. And literally they had to pick him up and take him back to Manhattan. We don't know how it happened, but he wound up in Mayapur. I don't know how that ever happened. And when we took him to all the holy places, he became so excited, you can't even imagine. And when he got to Sri Vasanga, I said, this is Sri Vasanga, where the Sankirtan mission began. And he said, in the local vernacular, this is the place. This is the place where the Sankirtan mission began. He said, this ain't normal. So they began, and it just shows, really. It's actually what we're doing here, too. Krishna consciousness, before you spread it, you really got to have it. Or while you're spreading it, you have to nurture it. So the Vaishnavas have to come together. So first thing Lord Chaitanya did is he did Sankirtan. Right? The first thing he did was Sankirtan. Jiva Goswami says that Sankirtan, doing kirtan with others, is better than kirtan. Because Sankirtan, he said, gives special feelings of bliss. And what are the special feelings of bliss? That when you share an experience, it becomes deeper. Because you open your heart more. And when you share an experience, it's less egotistical. Even in what's called rasa theory. In rasa theory, when a drama or a play is to invoke an emotion in the audience, if it successfully communicates that feeling, If it successfully communicates that feeling to the whole audience, then what happens is everyone in the audience is experiencing the same thing. And actually for rasa, or that feeling in drama, to take place, it's actually required that the whole audience experiences the same thing. And it was even there in Srivasanga when Lord Chaitanya was doing kirtan. As soon as there was someone there that wasn't on the same page, the bliss couldn't manifest. When there was some brahmachari who they thought was very advanced because he just drank milk, Lord Chaitanya said if that was the qualification, then any child would be a pure devotee. So all they do is drink milk. But he was an impersonalist. It couldn't rise to that relish. So there's something when you share experience. And what happens is, too, what prevents us from experiencing love is egoism, false egoism. Even in kirtan, if you somehow or other play the cartels, in a way where you think that others are looking at you, then there's no bhakti. Bhakti gets destroyed by the conscience. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was really into this. It gets destroyed by the consciousness that you are the seer. And other things are to be seen for your enjoyment. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, they were shocked. Every day he would go to Mangal Arati, and his door was on the other side of the temple. So he'd come and he'd take his glasses off. And during the whole Arati, he had his glasses off. And then people said, well, why did he have his glasses off? And they said, you are taking darshan. Why do you have your glasses off? He said, because darshan is I'm presenting myself to for God. God is seeing me. That's real darshan. Real darshan is you have to walk, you have to come before the deity. You have to come before the deity with your heart. And there's either one or two feelings. There's some type of, well, there's some love in your heart that you really want to offer to the deities. Or there's no love in your heart, you want to offer your regret that there's no love in your heart and pray to the deities. So that kind of consciousness where you center yourself in the center, you put yourself in the center. So it's described that in real kirtan, real kirtan, you're joining for an experience, a shared experience. So you don't own the experience. You serve the experience. It's not produced by you. It's something that you serve. And it says that the limited eye becomes transcended. Even in ordinary drama, to a certain extent. What to speak of sankirtan? So the first thing Lord Chaitanya does is sankirtan, because there's special feelings of bliss. And there's special mercy. And there's special mercy in sankirtan because it's born from Lord Chaitanya. Sankirtanaika Pitaro, it's the father. Lord Chaitanya is the father. So it's so pleasing when you serve sankirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya, his whole life, and then he travels. As Pari Brajakacharya, he travels, which for a Vaishnava, traditionally, what this would mean is, and what the real sannyas would mean is, dependence on Krishna. Because when you stay in one place, what happens naturally, it's you set up naturally the world according. according to your own desires,
for your comforts, for your service, but there's a certain attachment in the mind that I'm the controller because I put this here for my enjoyment. So the whole idea of traveling, or the traditional sannyas, is that you can't control your environment, and therefore you have to be more dependent on Krishna. And when the same things come to you, which is your maintenance, sustenance, protection, which you're not involved in creating, then you experience a certain love. Because your feeling is coming from Krishna. And now we're going to get to the point where Lord Chaitanya is now going to Puri. And that's actually the point. I'm going to read something, actually, but the introduction took a long time. But he's going to enter into Puri. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, there's such a significance. Amazing. He has his 48 years. And Prabhupada also showed that also. It's not the amount of time that you have to do something. It's the concentration and focus in which you do it. Which is an advertisement for spending sufficient time in ISKCON in education. Because sometimes we rush to do things, but when we're not qualified to do it, or not as qualified as we can, we don't really accomplish much. A lot of times what we do is we cause problems that we have to solve. So it's nice. I mean, if you look at Prabhupada's life, the first volume of his biography was a lifetime in preparation. And then he had 10 years, right? It was about 10 years, 10, 11 years. And what he did in 10, 11 years. And how much he did in 10, 11 years. So it's not really, and we should think this ourselves, that we shouldn't be hesitant to spend time putting something in. I was appreciating in Mayapur Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj's school. You know, people actually studying and training. And there'll be a time where people can do something. Of course, we also distribute what we get, and that's also important. There has to be a proper balance, but we shouldn't minimize the training and putting something in and then really be able to do something. Sometimes even myself, I regret a little bit, you know, if when I was young, I spent more time preparing what more I can do now. If I spent some time learning the local languages so I can actually enter into the scriptures in a deep way, practicing in a deep way. So, Lord Chaitanya's life is 48 years. 24 years is Adi Lila, beginning. And then at the end of Adi Lila, he takes sannyas. And he's transformed. Because when Lord Chaitanya took initiation, there's actually there's two Sanskrit terms for initiation. I don't know. One is the formality, and one is the consciousness. And the consciousness of initiation is a surrender that completely changes your consciousness. And the best example that I read of this, I read in this transcript of I have a friend who
who's a professor, and he's connected with a Vaishnav scholar. And there was many questions that they asked this scholar. So I had about, and he, my friend translated it. So he's a professor of Sanskrit and subjects like that. And he translated it. So I was reading it. It was like an interesting thing. When they described initiation, they gave such a perfect analogy of what really it is and what happened to Lord Chaitanya when he took initiation. And what he described was, is that it's just like when a young girl gets married, her identity before she gets married is, I am daughter of my father. And then she gets married, and then she is the wife of her husband. With the real commitment comes a complete change in identity. And bhakti, more than anything else, is a change in identity. So Lord Chaitanya, and with that change of identity, one becomes a receptacle for so many things. So you actually change the identity, or basically another way to look at it is, I am the center, I am the servant of the center. When you actually do that, you become in a position to actually experience love and take the heart of Guru. And therefore there was complete transformation in Lord Chaitanya. So he took sannyas at 24 for so many reasons. And then for 6 years, based in Puri, but 6 years he traveled and preached. And then for the last 18 years of his life, that's called the Antya Leela. And what did he do in the Antya Leela? Basically, the Antya Leela was to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, for Krishna's descent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what was the internal reason for his descent? He wanted to become a devotee. And which devotee? The best devotee, because he's God. And what did he want to experience? The devotion of his best devotee at the height of her devotion, which is her deep feelings of separation. Vipralamba. And where did he come to do that? Puri. I'm going to leave that subject for Madhavananda. But here's the question. Why is Vipralamba only experienced? We say it's separation, but there's no Vipralamba in Vaikuntha, in Ayodhya. Vipralamba is not just separation, it's the height of separation. Why is it only experienced in Vrindavan? Actually, I have to be frank. Vipralamba, separation. It's translated, separation. But then in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, then I read, it's only in Vrindavan. Why is Vipralamba only in Vrindavan?
We're waiting, Maharaj, for you to tell us.
I want to see if we have some speculators in here.
Exactly.
I love it. Of course. Thank you. What?
Because actually Krishna is devotee's property. And it's, you know, he does his function as the master and lover and husband, etc. It's only the gopi's property. So it's only, you can only experience separation when something is absolutely yours.
Brilliant.
But it's not 100%.
Well, there's different ways of saying the same thing. He said, Sarvatma said, really, Krishna's really the gopi's property, so you can only experience separation when you really have full possession. Because the love experienced by the residents of Vrindavan is higher than any place else.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore, the separation is more intense. And Vipralamba is not just separation. It is the most intense separation.
Rupa Goswami gives the answer to this also in a little money. He says, Navina Vipralamba has Sambhoga Pushtam Asmute. Without Vipralamba, Sambhog or union is not nourished. So the Premadhara, the river of love, my groomer's often says, in Braj, has two embankments. Vipralamba and Sambhog, union and separation. If there's no separation, the union is not fully nourished. So both are required.
Both are required.
But the separation, Acharya described, is the highest thing.
The highest. Wonderful.
One more point, Maharaj. Not only the gopis feel separation. When Krishna went to Mathura, the cowherd boys were thinking like maybe he'll go on to Dwarka. Mother Yashoda is thinking, oh, we heard that Krishna is not really our son, that Devaki and Vasudeva is their real parents, then they're feeling Vipralamba. You know, the servants are saying...
I wasn't suggesting just the gopis.
Oh.
But the quality of love... You see, actually, Krishna could ask me a question that actually is a relationship to this. Of what does it mean that the residents of, in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, that someone is the recipient of the topmost mercy. And they're looking for the recipient of the topmost mercy. So what is actually the mercy? The mercy is, the greatest mercy is to experience love. That's the greatest mercy. And the deeper the love, the higher the mercy. So the love of Vrindavan is the fullest because it's the place where God gives himself the fullest. There's one absolute reality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what is Krishna? Krishna is when God gives himself the most. In Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu, the first description of Krishna is Akila Rasa Mrita Murti. He's the full embodiment of love. Narayan does not show his friendship. He does not show his intimate love. There's one God, but when God reveals himself fully, that's Krishna, who's therefore all attractive and therefore invokes the deepest love and the highest sense of pleasure. So only in Vrindavan does God give himself fully. And therefore, the attachment for God is the fullest. And therefore, the separation from him, the separation from him is the most intense. Is a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now coming into Vipralamba Kshetra because he wants to experience that. And therefore, in the process of nourished in the example that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us, how to get love for God. And love for God means love is in a relationship. So you have to have a relationship with God to fully experience love for God. So how do you develop that relationship with God? You chant God's name. Okay, I'll ask another question. I think this is very relevant. The very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Prickett asks the question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? What should he not do? And what was the answer that's given? Kidanagar, you know that verse? Yeah, what is it? Can you give the translation?
O King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless method of success for all, including those who are full of all material desires, those who are free from all material desires, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of their transcendental knowledge.
That's the answer. That's the Bhagavatam. If you want to be fearless at the time of death, Harinam Anukirtanam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, says, you know, of all the practices of devotional service, there are nine that are best. Of those nine, Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smarana, and Padasevana, four of those are, three of those, chanting, hearing, and remembering are best. And of those three, then kirtan is the best. And there's something better than kirtan. Or it's a particular type of kirtan. That's better than just kirtan. And this is not even saying sankirtan. Better than kirtan, sankirtan, chanting. There's a particular chanting that's the best. Which is the chanting that's the best? What?
Nam-sankirtan.
Of Nam-sankirtan, which is the best?
Prem-sankirtan.
Of Nam... Okay, well, of course, Prem-sankirtan, yes. But, okay, but of Nam-sankirtan, of course, chanting with love, it's when you chant the names of your beloved Lord. Like you can chant Ram-kirtan. It's kirtan. Narayan-kirtan. I mean, it's nice, but we chant the names of our beloved Lord. Why? Because there's more sambandha, and therefore the focus is so much more deep. So if the process is chanting the holy name, how do you get the focus and absorption? You have to have a relationship with the person whose name you are chanting. So how do you do that? There's two things that you do that Lord Chaitanya did. There's two things that he did to cultivate that name, that relationship. One is he heard the songs and stories of Krishna from the Bhagavatam. In fact, if you don't have your relationship with Krishna, that is the way to get that. That's the method. You chant Hare Krishna and you hear the Bhagavatam. And I'm, you know, in my experience in Krishna consciousness, what really gets a person deeper and deeper in Krishna consciousness, of course, kirtan is sarva shreshte. It's the best. But to really get people deeper is when you regularly nashta prayeshu, abhadrayeshu, nityam, bhagavata, seva. When you regularly hear the Bhagavatam. Because it cultivates that sambandha. I quote this 1,000 times. Lord Chaitanya sat before his guru because he was concerned that he was going mad with his chanting of the holy name. He thought he was going mad, crazy. And his guru said, no. By chanting the holy name, you will see the lotus feet of Krishna. Which is very, very significant of how to get the lotus feet of Krishna. He said, chant the name. He didn't necessarily by saying, thinking of the pastimes. He said, chant the name. And then he said, the second thing he said, this is Lord Chaitanya's guru's instructions. Second thing he said was, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Eva Kevalam. That you chant, there's no other way, there's no other way. And then he said to him, I will now give you a verse that's the essence of the Bhagavatam. Gita? You still haven't learned this verse. 50% of your life is wasted. Evam vrata svapriya nama krita chitana raga. This is the essence. In this way, chanting without any inhibition, any attachment, svapriya nama. The name of svapriya. What's svapriya mean, Pandit? The one you love. Beloved. The name of your beloved Lord. When you chant the name of your beloved Lord, Chaitanuraga, then comes that raga. Okay, so this is what Lord Chaitanya did. He cultivated sambandha. He cultivated a relationship with Krishna and Krishna's name. And then when he chanted the name, there was so much absorption because there was love. There was love. What else did he do? This is too, for Raga Nuga Bhakti, it says specifically in the Bhakti Rasa Mrita Sindhu, when you chant the holy name, there's two things you have to do to cultivate that relationship.
Smarana?
What?
Smarana? Remembering?
Remembering? Yes, that's true. Remembering, but both of these processes, the remembering comes from the hearing, right? You see, you're hearing, and obviously, Raga Nuga Bhakti is smarana. You have to come to the platform. But how to get to that platform, and then how you nourish that smarana. What's that? Satsang, yeah, satsang is always the year. You can never be wrong with satsang. But let me see it more specific. Anyway, what he said is, and it's very, you worship you have to chant the name of your beloved Lord, so you have to hear the pastimes of your Lord in the relationship that you aspire for. And you have to worship the form of your Lord in the relationship that you aspire for. So we worship a deity that invokes the sentiments of the love we want. So if you want to enter into Raga Nuga Bhakti and spontaneous devotion, you chant the holy name. That's the most important thing. But Swapriyanam, your beloved Lord, you cultivate the relationship by hearing the Bhagavatam and by worshiping the form of God whom you're attracted to. It's not that you still worship Lakshmi Narayan. Of course, you can worship different forms to clear obstacles. You worship Radha and Krishna, if that's your beloved Lord. Actually, very interesting thing, I'll just go off, is that today's parikram, which we'll go after breakfast, we'll go to Tota Gopinath, and the first day parikram is very, very sweet. For me especially, because it only takes 8 minutes to get there, or maybe 20 minutes if we go the long way. I'm a sannyasi, and Krishna's laughing, because I hate to travel. If I had my way, we'd just stay in this room all day. You ask, Madhavananda said, oh yeah, we want to go to a new place this year. Traditionally, we go to Alalanath, which is very beautiful. But he suggested Dandabhanga Nadi, where Lord Chaitanya broke the, where Nityananda broke the Danda. So I said, okay, go to a new place. First I looked it up, okay, it's only 10 kilometers, not 30. So that's a better place for me. And then he said, and we want to see Dandabhanga Gopinath. It's only a 45-minute walk there and back. I said, no way. But then they did a pedometer, and it's only like 15 minutes. I said, great, let's go. And no bhakti. So, we're going to go to Tota Gopinath. What a special deity. It's where... And I'm not going to explain too much about it because we'll have some katha there, but it's the deity where Lord Chaitanya entered to leave the world. But the other interesting part is Radha resided there in the form of Gadadha. But if she manifested the mood of Radha, then Lord Chaitanya, or Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, would have to manifest the mood of Krishna. But he wanted to be the mood of Radha. So out of service, she covered that mood. She didn't manifest the mood of Radha. Like Jagannanda Pandit was Satya Baba, and Satya Baba was heavy and left wing, and Jagannanda Pandit was left wing. And Radha, she could be very strong, but Gadadha was completely bereft of any of that mood. But how did Gadadha do the service for Lord Shiva? Because Radha is Anuyaradito Nunam Bhagavan. She's the best servant. So how did Radha serve? The desire of Krishna, which was to be Radha. Well, it's not to manifest the mood of Radha. So how did she serve? Bhagavatam. She taught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Bhagavatam. Radha taught the Bhagavatam to Krishna so that Krishna could become a devotee. So I guess we should also think that this is important.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, Mark, definitely.
So, now today's verse. We'll just go briefly. But I wanted to start with Gaur Lila and then highlight the importance of the Bhagavatam and then the Brahma Vimohan Lila, which is, it's such an incredible pastime to actually think of Krishna. Because you see him sitting in the circle of the cowherd boys. Just meditate on his hand with a mixture of rice, yogurt, and fruit. I suppose there were some of those Mayapur chikus. Maybe some real ripe papaya pieces. Grapes that are actually not sour. Apples from New Zealand. If you really want to lose your caste and still be hungry, get the wrong apple in India for breakfast. If I don't get a crispy apple, I just can't. So he has that in his hand. And the whey is dripping down his arm and staining his dhoti. Demigods watching this, they said, this can't be God. He can't be God. He doesn't even know how to eat. How can this be God? The pastime is there. So I'll just read one purport, and I think it will just say something nice, and it is really interesting. Madhyalila 6, chapter 7, 3, the liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And initially I was going to speak on this Leela, but it would be a lot of real deep philosophy. And I wanted more of a mixture of rasa and the culture, but this is a good section. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Gopinatha kahi inhara nahi vyapeksha bhakta eva bhara sampradaya nahi ka apeksha. Gopinath Acharya replied, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not rely on any external formality. There is no need for him to accept the sannyas order from a superior sampradaya. It's a long, long purport. I'll just read the last part of it. Gopinath Acharya pointed out that the Lord does not depend on any external formality. Gopinath Acharya was firmly convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself and therefore independent of any external ritual or formality. If one wants to engage in pure devotional service, he does not require to... Krishna can change. How do you pronounce T-I-T-U-L-A-R?
Titular.
He does not require titular superiority. It means like rank.
Title.
What?
Title.
As a Bharati or a Saraswati. Om Gyana Timurandasya. Dhananjana Shalangara.
Dasurvindhanyena.
Very long, because I'm very punctual about our schedule, but
This is a really, Lord Chaitanya comes to Puri, and when he sees the deity of Jagannath, he immediately faints and goes into a state of ecstasy that is only experienced by Srimati Radharani. There are ecstatic symptoms called sattvic kebabs. It's when your devotion for Krishna is stimulated, and there are involuntary bodily reactions, like hairs standing on end. You don't say, like, if it's a nice kirtan, you can say, I'm going to dance. You don't say, wow, it's a nice kirtan. Let my hair stand on head. The tears coming from the eyes, shaking. And each of these astika sattvika bhavs, eight in number, they're the ecstasy in them is judged by three things: their intensity, their duration, and their pervasiveness. So Lord Chaitanya was so ecstatic that he had all the astika sattvika bhavas for the greatest intensity, the longest duration, and the greatest pervasiveness.
You mean pervasive all over their body?
Yes. Yeah. It could be like the whole world shakes. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happened to see this. And he took him to his home, and Lord Chaitanya had run ahead. And when he took him to his home, it's a very interesting thing, even though he was an impersonalist, he got so much mercy because he served the devotee. In fact, there's a commentary on the verse, Dharmasya yapavargasya narto tayapakalpate, that dharma is meant for liberation, and liberation means bhakti. And the commentary said how this works is because if you're a cultured person, there's more likelihood that you'll serve a Vaishnava. And that's it. Basically, the commentary said that's the purpose of Vanashram. If you're cultured, you'll treat a guest, and one of the guests may be a Vaishnava. So that's what Dharma is for. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, because he's cultured, he served him as a great devotee, a great spiritualist, and as a sannyasi, and took him to his home and became attracted to him. Because it's natural, it's not just sexual. Beauty attracts, intelligence attracts, opulence attracts, renunciation attracts. It's just the nature of the world. Being sentient, you have attraction. Opulence. So he was attracted, and he felt some compassion, and because he was the son of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's father's friend, he felt some kind of paternal affection.
and he wanted to serve him. And because he was so handsome and young, he was going to want to train him in Vedanta. Because to maintain sannyas, you have to build up the buddhi, because sannyas is gyan. Gyan, understanding you're not the body, and the renunciation is based on an understanding, and the understanding is based on your buddhi. So sannyas doesn't mean you're a sannyas, you are more advanced than everyone else necessarily, and the bhakti path. It means that you have a proclivity to serve in a renounced way, which may give you a facility to dedicate yourself fully. But it doesn't mean you're more advanced just because you're a sannyasi. So he wanted to help him and train him, but first he wanted to reinitiate him. So it's right here in the thing. He wants to reinitiate him into a higher order of sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't even have a sannyas name. He keeps his brahmachari name, Chaitanya. So he thinks, boy, this person is really humble. He doesn't take the upadhi. He's not into the designation. But he wants to give him a higher order of sannyas, and Gopinathacharya objects to it. And why does he object to it? Because, as said in the verse, he doesn't need an external designation to be who he is. God is God. Whether he is muck and chore, stealing butter, whether he's so uncontrolled that he can't control it, when Nanda Maharaj, when they had the assembly and they wanted to move because all the demons were coming. No, they actually saw that Krishna was killing the Shakatasara demon and this demon, and someone suggests their god. And then his father started laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
He said, God? The Param Satyam? The absolute truth? Krishna only speaks lies. The supreme controller? He's passing stool and urine. He can't even control his bowels. You think he's the supreme absolute? But Krishna is God in all circumstances. So to say that, you know, we'll facilitate Krishna's spiritual life by giving him a higher order of sannyas. So they became upset. And not only that, in the bhakti path, and this is what's mentioned in this verse, by apeksha, it's not dependent on external formalities. That to be a pure devotee, you have to have saffron. You have to have a gender. It's not dependent on external formalities. So, and what happens before this, and I'm just going to say a word about it, and Madhavananda will explain it more depth. But when he comes in to Puri, and where Dandabhanganadi is right, the river that is the demarcation of Purushottama Kshetra, Lord Nityananda breaks his staff. He breaks his staff. He's going for the internal reason for his descent, which is to cultivate the internal feelings of devotion, and that's beyond any external formalities. So you want to enter into that. Enter in beyond the external formalities. It's a very, very beautiful section. I don't know. Maybe it's the arguments too that they go back and forth about whether God's a person and how you determine that God's a person. Krishna Kshetra, I gave a class in New York, Can God Be Blue? And I discussed the reasonability of God. You know, this is the evidence. The evidence is the world. The two choices are molecules that move randomly and a conscious being. So I argue, I give the arguments.
Both.
Why it's a conscious being. Then the arguments, God is a person. And then the arguments that the person is, that person is Krishna. But so the arguments is God is a person. The best argument I saw was so sweet. And I heard about this person. He's probably the top person in the academy for Christian apologetics. I think his name is Alvin Plantinga.
Plantinga.
Alvin. And I saw a little video, and he's just like a Brahmin, you know, such a simple, pious guy. And they asked him, is God a person? And I loved his answer. He said, God is not less than a person. Threw the ball right back in their court. God is not less than a person. Very beautiful, the arguments that go back and forth and how you establish that. The last thing I'll say, and then there were questions, one or two, is what's your time to worship Jagannath? For getting this mood of the separation that Radha feels for Krishna. And just to meditate on it, we can discuss it more. In one sense, Lord Jagannath is the highest manifestation of Krishna. Because what is Krishna? Krishna is God when he reveals himself fully. Prabhupada said the high court judge doesn't reveal himself fully. He doesn't reveal his intimate side. He goes home, then he reveals his intimate side. So what is Jagannath? It's God in separation from Sri Radha. So it's God at the height of his ecstasy. It's God at the height of his love. So it's the fullest manifestation of God. And Lord Chaitanya, even when he went to South India, he made a deity of Jagannath. At least there must be some reason why God is worshipping Jagannath to get the mood of Radha. So this is a very special place, and we do this program every year. So basically the schedule is 6:30, and then the class goes to a little bit before 9, breakfast. And after breakfast, we go on Harinam to one place, do a lot of kirtan, have some katha about the place. We generally get back here not later than 1, generally. And then we have time, and then in the afternoon, katha begins 4:30, kirtan, and then prasad at 6, the Jagannath prasad. Full. You were here yesterday, it was extraordinary. Really extraordinary, the Jagannath prasad. And then 6 to 9 in the courtyard goes kirtan. They're very nice kirtan years we have here. It's a simple program. Okay? Anybody have any question? One or two questions. I never leave time for questions. I can't keep my mouth shut.
My Maharaj, when you were talking about the two ways that Mahaprabhu was cultivating this sambandha, you made a comment that he was instructed to chant the name, but not necessarily to think of the pastimes. Not necessarily, that's how you said it.
Okay, well, no, I didn't say that. No, what I said is chant the name of your beloved Lord. So I'm just saying, obviously within the name are the pastimes, especially when it's your beloved Lord. Like if we say, Jai Shubhupada Ki Jai Shubhupada, at least his form is there. And if more deep, you may have a remembrance of it, or you may think of this quality. So it's all there, obviously, when you chant. But I don't know what I said then, but what I'll repeat what I wanted to say Swapriyanam. You chant the name of your beloved Lord, and the way that you develop that is by hearing about God, by hearing about the person whose name you are chanting.
Panchratna, and then
I just wanted to clarify for myself. I've been meditating on this. Does this mean that you are not really consciously cultivating your remembrance of the pastimes when you are chanting? It should come from your hearing during the day about the pastimes. It should enter your chanting, or should it be something like a conscious trying to remember specific pastimes when you are chanting?
Okay, what a deep subject. At the end of the class, but what I would say is,
what's the question?
The chanting is should the pastimes come spontaneously, or should you consciously think of the pastimes when you're chanting? Right? So, and I said this is a pretty deep question at the end of the class, but what I would say is that chanting is direct communion with Krishna. And direct communion comes from our attentiveness with Krishna. So, whatever facilitates the hearing of the name, we should do. Now, if you can think of Krishna's pastimes, and it invokes a mood in you where the name becomes more prominent, then fine. But if you think of Krishna's pastimes and you're not hearing the name, then not fine. So I think when they say there's no hard and fast rules, and I think when someone does become very advanced, then the name automatically manifests various feelings and pastimes. And someone may actually have a strategy to meditate in that way, which is called Astaka Lila Smart. You know, but it has to be a depth of devotion. So that, because if you're just thinking of the pastimes and then you're not hearing the name, you know, then you're losing your direct communion with God. Okay, this is a subject that is, it can't, what we should write it and have time one morning to discuss it in full with the Vaishnavas. Gita, last question? Comment?
Ask you, why do you think that the first deity came to ISKCON was Lord Chaitanya?
Why do I think the first deity
that came to ISKCON was
What's the conclusion?
Well, Panchatattva actually traced the outline of the Panchatattva painting to Jadrani's hand.
Yeah.
And that deity was formally installed. So that was the first deity.
And second view is Radhakrishna.
What I would say that is this: whether it's first, second, or third, it's quite significant that the form of Jagannath came, and I think the answer is it's Jagannath. It's the Lord of the universe, and he's manifest coming out. You know, so somehow or other, I think it's significant. You know, I just think it's Jagannath's mercy and to deliver the Pitita Pavana, deliver the fallen.
Yeah, because Jagannath came on his own, you know. The others came through Prabhupada. But Jagannath just came in San Francisco.
Came on their own? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.